Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Today is our annual year-in-review show with the heads of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Minnesota's Adjutant General. And joining me now is the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Larry Shelledo. Commissioner, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
It's always good to be back.
Sir, we've had you on the show quite a bit over the last 4 years and 2 months. Can you believe it's been 4 years we've been doing this?
Well, I tell you what, you've made a great impact. You can be very, very proud of what you've accomplished. So,
22 stations around the state now, sir. We're telling the story of our veterans in Minnesota and all the services that you help provide to them. And I think we're doing a pretty good job of getting the word out.
Yes, and the feedback I get has been fantastic. My favorite story is one of the commanders you had on did a show. He was nervous. He was scared. And he was amazed at how fast it went because you got him relaxed. But then he was just in awe at the number of people that heard him would come up to him and tell him, I heard you on the radio. And he was just excited as to the impact that you have for us. So I just want to thank you also.
Well, it's been a lot of fun to build this network and to be able to get all the information out about all the great things you do over at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And I imagine you had some accomplishments this year that you're really proud of, sir.
Well, yes. I just finished my fourth year. And with that, one of the major goals that I had set was to make sure that we can put, for the lack of a better term, a capstone on our veterans' homes in the state of Minnesota. And I'm proud to say that we have been now fully funded, not only we finished phase one, we're in the midst of phase two, and we have all the funding, state and federal match, for completing phase three. So we're on autopilot for the next 3 years on building and construction, and that is a very, very good feeling.
Commissioner, I can remember we had Commander Pancake in the studio sitting in that same chair you're in, and he was pounding on the table talking about, we've got to get that funding for phase three.
That's right.
It was fun to watch it.
And it's been very, very good. And with that, the staff at the homes and even in the whole department have been just, for lack of a better term, re-energized with the new facilities, the new equipment, and the opportunities to serve veterans. So we've been very, very fortunate, especially this last year with everything coming together, it seems like.
And, Commissioner, we've been able to meet a lot of your people. You've got some first-class people on your team that really care.
And that's the beauty. They're a great team, and they build off each other's strengths, and they emulate each other's strengths, and the sum of the parts, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. I guess that's the phrase I like to use.
And they give you the ability to get a lot of work done during the course of a year.
As long as I stay out of their way.
Commissioner, I noticed that you broke ground on a new cemetery this year.
Yes, down in Preston, Minnesota. For lack of a better term, atypical veteran cemetery as far as the federal VA is concerned. And what I like is the land that was donated, which was part of the process in Fillmore County, is absolutely beautiful. And the federal VA system, I think, has adopted it, and they want to use this as a
model.
A model of just what it could be. And so things are going very well. I took a tour earlier this spring, or fall, excuse me, and things are coming along very, very well and going according to plan. And we're now starting to take a look at two other locations in the state of Minnesota. And that's they're on the drawing board type of aspect, but that would probably then fill up the federal VA's estimate of how much they would be willing to allow Minnesota to do.
And part of the idea there was to have the cemeteries closer to where our veterans live so that on Veterans Day, Memorial Day, whenever people want to go visit, it's closer to home.
That is correct. You know, we have Fort Snelling in Minneapolis, which is a national flagship. But Camp Ripley has grown exponentially, especially in Memorial Day ceremonies at that. And that's going very, very well. So we're looking one out west and one up north, as well as the one out down in Fillmore.
And Commissioner, I understand you had a grand reopening of an office in St. Paul.
Yes, the federal government decided they need to fix the Whipple Building quite extensively, and we've had an excellent partnership with the claims and services aspect, which is housed at the Whipple Building, and we've got an excellent space, excellent facilities, technology, so forth, so they're doing much, much more and loving it.
We're speaking with Commissioner Larry Shelledo from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. And Commissioner, you had some other accomplishments this year that you wanted to tell us about?
Well, yeah, I think one of the things that was a major initiative of the governor and the state and nationally is ending homelessness. The VA has been very, very supportive, and Minnesota has been doing very well in ending homelessness. So we're part of the team. So it's not only just veterans, but it is homeless in general for the state of Minnesota. But our numbers are steadily improving, and we're working at, we do what we call a daily headcount or in-time headcount. And we're improving it. So we're almost at a statistical point of is there homeless? Yes. Are they necessarily looking for a place? That's no. So we're doing very, very well, but we're also then working with other agencies in the state of Minnesota to use the best practices to help end homelessness throughout the state.
And, of course, over the course of the entire year of 2014, we've had MACV on, we've talked about the stand downs, we've had your folks on, we've had the new state director on, and there is a big push to eliminate veterans homelessness, and I hope we accomplish it this year, sir.
Oh yes, and we're working very, very hard to do that, and again, also because of those efforts, that's why the state is reaching out to us, to the veteran community, to say how can we help replicate what you have done for others in the state of Minnesota.
And Commissioner, have you got some near-term or 3 to 4 year goals in mind?
Well, you know, on the housing or the homes side of it, with the Minneapolis campus now fully funded, technically we have capacity for 2 outstate, what I would say, 80-bed homes in outstate Minnesota. The number one issue that we have is proximity, because most of the people in the homes are very senior. And I tell of the one example I shared with you earlier today. The husband who was in the VA in St. Cloud, and his wife of 60-some years was still up north in their home. And in the final years, being separated is not the way I would want, you know, things to be. So we're looking at if we do have additional homes, that'll be up to the legislature to determine if they want to support that. But they would be more outstate across Minnesota so that the driving distance for the families would not be that great.
So you want to try to find out where the need is greatest and then try to locate a couple new homes.
Need is greatest, for sure, and also the community willingness and support and readiness to take it, because when you put a home into a community, there's also other services that need to be provided and available on a solid basis. So it's a process that I'm giving to the legislature, because they once asked me where I would put it, and I told them, and I made one friend and a lot of enemies. So I'm not going to go there anymore. I'm going to say, all right, you're the leaders. You decide where you want it, and we'll make sure it happens.
Well, Commissioner, it's a new year, 2015, so that means the legislature is coming back in session. So I guess we better not get you in trouble before they start.
That is correct. I'm going to be very, very careful about that. So, no, it's the last 4 years have been exciting, demanding. And again, thank you for your support in getting things out. Well, we've made those incremental improvements. We have over 360,000 veterans in the state of Minnesota. We are a $2.3 billion industry that no one really realizes. But there's a lot of veterans who get some type of compensation or pension. And that, plus their Social Security and the house hopefully having been paid for by now, they keep off anyone's rolls for need. And we're taking care of our own. We're making sure they've come all the way home.
Commissioner, one of the strongest messages I think we've had over the last 4 years is about all the programs that are available, but also to tell the veterans, get your discharge certificate, get your DD-214, go see your county veteran service officer. They will help you access whatever program is appropriate for you.
Yes, obviously the key point is the county veteran service officer. They are, one, close proximity, and they are subject matter experts. And by the way, all of our county veteran service officers, we require them to be nationally certified.
And they have spring and fall conferences, and they're studying all the time, aren't they?
That's correct.
Commissioner, we just got about a minute left. Any long-term visions you want to share with us today?
The biggest long-term goal that I'm going to be working on now, the next couple of years specifically, is what I call bringing our troops all the way home. A key component is getting a good job and working with them on and how to apply. We have veterans preference laws and requirements, but I want to be in partnership with the communities and the counties and the state to make sure that it's a win-win for the veteran and for the community in hiring a veteran. Veteran unemployment is something it's gotten a lot better, definitely gotten a lot better, but it's still something we need to address and make sure, because there's a lot of talent out there that can be used because of their military experience.
Commissioner, I've heard you say that, bringing them all the way home many times, and what you mean by that is not just back to Minnesota, but all the way home, back into civilian, transition, settled, ready to go.
That's correct.
Commissioner, I'm just about out of time. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Oh, no, other than thank you. Thank you to helping us help our veterans. And I'll just close with that again, bringing them all the way home.
Thank you, sir. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back with the director of the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Joining me now from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System is Director Patrick Kelly. Director, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. It's nice to be back with you.
Director, 2014 was a very good year, I think, for Minnesota Military Radio, and we've learned a lot about the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System and all of your outpatient clinics, and it's been a real pleasure to have you and some of your doctors on the show.
Well, I'll tell you, people really enjoy it. I remember about a year ago, you and I sat down and we laid out with our public affairs officer a good way for us to be consistently on your show, and we're hearing a lot of good things from our staff who really enjoy coming over. Veterans are calling. They heard about the radio thing, and they want to know more about it, so we're very grateful that you've given us this opportunity.
And, Director, it was nationally, it was kind of a tough year for the VA healthcare system, but here in Minneapolis, I think we've got one of the best in the country, and I hope you had a little easier year than some of the directors from around the country, sir.
I suspect I have, although I will say that we have areas for improvement here in Minneapolis, and I think a lot of the things that have happened nationally have been difficult for many veterans and for those of us who work for the department, because, you know, we want to do a good job, and people are very mindful that our work, our life's work, is to take care of veterans and make sure that we are providing the kind of services that are going to meet their needs. And so, you know, it's a new secretary this year, and the new focus, and really a very good focus, is on making sure that we hear what veterans want. We hear loud and clear what they expect from us and how we can meet their needs. And the secretary has said that, you know, the one measure that counts is veteran satisfaction. So we have areas to make improvement in that in the meantime, we're going to remain very focused on providing the best quality of care that we can to our Minnesota veterans, because they deserve it. And I'm comfortable that we're doing that, but we need to do better, and we're going to keep looking for those opportunities.
Director, it's my understanding that you have about somewhere around 100,000 veterans in Minnesota under your care, and that you work with a lot of the veteran service organizations, American Legion, VFW, and the DAV does a lot of work to help transport those veterans and get them in to see the doctors.
Yeah, we're, again, so lucky in the state of Minnesota to have an active, supportive group of veteran service organizations and county veteran service officers who, you know, every day over at the VA, you see a number of volunteers in the red vests. You see DAV members being dropped off. It just takes a whole group of people to take good care of veterans. And in the state of Minnesota, we have a lot of great people who are committed to doing that. So this is a good place to be.
Director, 2014 was a big year. You opened up a couple of new community-based outpatient clinics, and you've expanded another one.
Yeah, so in the spring, we opened our Albert Lee CBOC down in Albert Lee, Minnesota, southern Minnesota. Shakopee in June. We're expanding, and we're cutting a ribbon on and doubling the size of our Chippewa Falls clinic. This Friday, we're opening that. So, you know, it's about taking services out to the veterans where they live, more services, more telehealth, minimizing the amount of driving that veterans have to do to Minneapolis. So it's been a good year in that respect. We have expanded our services significantly. And as you point out, Tom, we now have over 100,000 veterans enrolled in our system, and we do more than 900,000 outpatient visits in a year. So it's a lot of care, and having expanded out to the clinics has allowed us to provide care for veterans who previously didn't want to come for care to Minneapolis or other places. So it's been a good year in that way.
Director, did you see good numbers of veterans transfer their files from Minneapolis to, say, Shakopee or down the southern?
You know, more so to Shakopee, because a lot of those southern metro veterans, you know, a lot of our veterans, and I probably would include you and I on this, we want to avoid driving into Minneapolis if we don't have to. So if they can turn south and go that way, they prefer to do that. And so many of our veterans have chosen to get their care in those CBOCs, still come to Minneapolis for their specialty care, but you know, a lot of it has been new enrollees, but there have also been those that have decided that a little bit easier to go to Shakopee than to come to Minneapolis, so they do it that way.
And I'll bet those county veteran service officers that got the new clinics were pretty happy too.
Oh, absolutely! No, we're really pleased with the way those clinics have turned out. We have some expanded services, podiatry, lots of mental health, lots of primary care. So it's the way that the VA is going in terms of providing health care. You know, less centered on the big medical center, more in the communities, more home-based care, and that's better for veterans.
Director, so I'm thinking back over the years, it seems like right around St. Patrick's Day, you had some construction finished out at the Minneapolis clinic.
You have a good memory, Tom. It was exactly St. Patrick's Day, March 17th this year. We opened our 520 space parking garage, and so you know, for those veterans who come to Minneapolis, what you will remember is that parking was a big hassle when you used to come prior to this new parking garage. Since then, I rarely hear parking issues, and I think veterans, staff, people, it's easier to get to your appointments on time. It minimizes driving around looking for a spot. That's been a big improvement. I'm really happy we did that.
We're speaking with Director Patrick Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Director, you had some other construction out at the Minneapolis VA hospital as well that I hope you're about done with that.
Yeah, well, a couple ones that I want to mention, Tom. One, we opened a new women's imaging suite. And so we see about 6,000 women veterans in Minneapolis. And, you know, for us to have opened a mammography service with women's imaging, you know, surgery, sort of a comprehensive women's health plan is really important and something that we need to do even better because, again, the number of women will grow. There's a large number of women in the Minnesota National Guard, and we need to prepare for even more and better women's health services. But the women's imaging suite was big and important. We also, this past year, opened up our new Flag Atrium project, and what that has done, importantly, has allowed veterans to get many of the support services in the atrium rather than having to traverse through the facility. So whether it's ID cards or information about Veterans Choice or a lot of the business office functions that used to be provided somewhere else are now provided in the atrium right when veterans come in the visitor's entrance. So that has made it easier. And a lot of veterans, it's hard, one, it's hard for them to get around, and it's also hard to get through our facility sometimes. It's a little, it's big, and it's sometimes confusing if you don't come there very often.
Well, I can personally attest that the parking's a lot easier, Director, and I really appreciate it.
Oh, good.
Director, we've had a lot of your folks on the show, and one show that was particularly interesting was about chronic pain management.
You know, as we've opened up and expanded our program here, it's been really interesting and I think instructive for me and for many others that, you know, more than half of our veterans suffer from some long-term pain issue. And we really need to focus those services on making sure that we are providing the right sorts of complementary and alternative medicine strategies, some sort of a residential plan where we can get veterans in with us for what we have a 3-week cohort now. And we've run 3 of those cohorts through, and we're going to be expanding that, and they will be staying in our facility with complete nursing service overnight and all. So pain is something that is important to veterans. Pain management is important to veterans. We want to minimize their dependence on opioids, and this is one very important way for us to do that. And Dr. Mike Armstrong and his team have really done a terrific job in making this happen.
And, Director, I know that you've got another project at the Fort Snelling Upper Post.
Yeah, so this is in conjunction with Common Bond, a community partner, and we are going to have 58 housing units for homeless veterans or veterans at risk for homelessness. And so that'll be, you know, completed in 2015, and we're converting a bunch of old horse stables into single-unit housing. And we have 4 family units where we used to have some old, single or small family quarters over in Fort Snelling. So, you know, one of the things that makes housing and for veterans successful is that we have to provide the support services. They're right there by the Minneapolis VA. That's where a lot of our staff are. The more we can provide services to those veterans who are at risk, the more successful we will be. And this is a great way for us to do it.
Director, we just got about 30 seconds left. What are you looking forward to in 2015?
Well, we want to increase our services and make sure that we're more responsive to veterans this year. Many of our listeners have heard about the Veterans Choice Act, where veterans will have greater opportunity to receive care in the community. It's a temporary program where we continue to expand and build our services in the Minneapolis VA and our CBOX. But, we want to make sure that our veterans are being seen in a timely manner, that they're happy with the care that they're getting. And we're responsive to what it is that they expect of us because we work for them. And the Secretary expects us to work for our veterans, and that's what we want to do.
Director, thanks for joining us today, and keep up the great work.
Thanks, Tom.
That was Director Patrick Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back with Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash.
You're listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Network. Stay tuned for more and follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Joining me now is Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. General, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, thanks again for having me on your program today to discuss the past year and what lies ahead in 2015.
General, this has been an interesting journey. I think we had our first show on the air the day that you took over as Adjutant General 4 years and 2 months ago, and we haven't skipped a week since, and we haven't repeated a show, and your support and all of the interesting people from the Minnesota National Guard that have been on it have just been fantastic.
Well, Tom, you know, you hosting this program has been invaluable to our service members and our families and all the military service members in Minnesota. And I've told you and your listening audience that many times, and you continue to do great work, and we certainly appreciate it.
Well, General, it's been an honor to help tell the story of the Minnesota National Guard and all of the wonderful things that are going on. I've learned so much every week. It's just incredible. Sir, we want to talk a little bit. This is our year in review show. We want to talk a little bit about some of the things the Minnesota National Guard did in 2014. Was it a long year for you?
Well, it's a year long, Tom. It doesn't get any shorter any longer. It's 365 days, and it seems like there's activities going on each and every day. But, you know, first of all, Tom, you know, as I've told you and your audience before, I could not be more proud of the great citizen soldiers and airmen of the Minnesota National Guard and their performance again in 2014. You know, we continue to provide exceptional support to our communities, to our state and our nation when called upon by the president or by Governor Dayton. And certainly in 2014, we made huge strides in developing our sustainable infrastructure across Minnesota. And in fact, we've initiated some great programs that I'd like to tell you about. And the first one would be that we have now signed a letter of agreement for the largest solar field in Minnesota at Camp Ripley in partnership with Minnesota Power, which will result in a 10-megawatt array that can power the entire base and an additional 1,000 homes across Minnesota. So we're certainly proud of what we're about to start and complete in 2016 at Camp Ripley.
General, that's got to be one of the best facilities in the United States.
Well, we're certainly very proud of Camp Ripley. You know, that 53,000 acres, the capacity that it has, as well as the partnerships that we've developed, not only in Morrison County, but in central Minnesota. And another additive to that is that we've used that facility now more and more each year with our interagency partners to include the DNR, Department of Transportation, Department of Corrections, Public Safety, our entire Highway Patrol, all their cadets train at Camp Ripley from their start of their course until they finish it. And certainly during this time of year, all the professional snowplow drivers that are out on our highway train at Camp Ripley, you know, in September. And so they get up there with their snowplows and they provide that training. And, you know, the exceptional service that we get from the Department of Transportation is a result of being at Camp Ripley. So we are very proud of that location, and its use goes up each and every year.
It's a tremendous state asset, sir.
It is, and it's a treasure here in Minnesota. And certainly, as you know, we also provide veterans hunts, disabled hunts up there at Camp Ripley. And for the environmentalists, it's the flora and the fauna, as well as what we do with research on timber wolves and the black bears, is just phenomenal. And it's gained national attention, and they in fact won a Department of Defense National Environmental Award this past year, and we had the Undersecretary of the Army come out and present that to all the great people up at Camp Ripley.
We're speaking with Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash, on Minnesota Military Radio. General, a couple of months ago we had one of your officers on, and he was talking to us about a study that you've been working on to take a look at all of the facilities you have all over the state.
You're right, Tom. That was probably Colonel Larry Herkey was on the program talking about what he and his staff had completed, and it was a year-long study of our 60-plus facilities across Minnesota, and we assessed their individual conditions, the capacity that we have for improvements at those locations, the demographics and the travel considerations for our service members and how far they have to travel to their assigned training locations. And as a result, we now have information to begin a long-range planning. And in fact, it will go out to the year 2030 for future renovations and consolidations, added construction and closures that will posture the Guard for success in the future, certainly in this era of declining resources.
General, that's got to be a big job, not knowing how much money that you're going to have available each year, and yet you still have to field the best force possible and use the facilities in the best way possible.
And that's one of the keys for us, is being good stewards of our limited resources and where we can best be located across Minnesota to serve our communities and our citizens in times of need. And along with that, you know, when we talk about serving Minnesota, our Yellow Ribbon networks remain vibrant and growing. And now we have over 270 networks throughout Minnesota. And these are organizations, companies, and communities that continue to be the backbone of support for our military families.
And
another highlight of this past year is that we continued to move forward in our diversity efforts. One of my six priorities as I came in as the Adjutant General was diversifying our force, really having an organization that looks like the members that it leads. And this year, we promoted the first African-American to Brigadier General in the Minnesota National Guard's history. So we were very proud of that fact. And I would say in the future, very near-term future, we ought to be able to promote the first woman Brigadier General in Minnesota's history.
You've certainly been busy, General.
Well, these are things that are fun to do when you can move the organization forward and provide opportunities to Minnesotans across the entire state.
General, what would you say are some of the highlights from 2014?
Well, I think this past year can be characterized by the exceptional support with our interagency partners that I described a little bit in my comments about Camp Ripley. And just recently, we successfully completed a statewide disaster drill and are now in the process of coordinating for a large exercise in 2015, late summer, called Vigilant Guard, that will further strengthen those partnerships. And Vigilant Guard 15, for your audience, is a full-scale exercise that will make sure that Minnesota is ready in the event of a mass natural disaster. We also have involved a train derailment in this exercise with chemical spill and cleanup, disruption of communications, and carrying of mass casualties in a portion of our state.
And General, we've heard over and over again that the members of the Minnesota National Guard and the members from Homeland Security and the community agencies, they've all trained together and they have good Rolodexes, if anybody uses those anymore, so that when there is a disaster, they know who to call.
That's right. You know, and the old saying is you want to exchange your business cards before the scene of the incident, and we've done that, and we put a lot of energy in the last few years working with all the partners in Minnesota that would respond to a local sheriff or a sector of government to respond appropriately, quickly, to provide services to prevent loss of life and damage to property.
And General, as usual, you've had a lot of training going on. Training, training, training is what I've heard for years.
Well, we do, and that continues. You know, after the 34th Infantry Red Bull Division came out of Iraq, we went right back into a training mode, and this year it culminated with the 34th Division Red Bull conducting a warfighter exercise at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, and it was a huge success by all measurements, where they were able to hone their training by commanding and controlling thousands of military forces over a two-week period of time, and that boded very well for the leadership and the soldiers of the 34th Division.
We're speaking with Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash, on Minnesota Military Radio. General, one of the things we also talk about on this show is history, and 70 years ago, a lot of things were happening in Europe.
You're right, Tom, and to commemorate that, we celebrated that 70th year anniversary of the liberation of Italy in World War II and the 34th Infantry Division's historic role during that conflict. In fact, the division commander, Major General Neil Leutold, and a couple of his staff members traveled to Italy to commemorate that event, and Twin Cities Public Radio, in fact, did a documentary called Through a Soldier's Eyes about that trip, which can be seen by your listeners on tpt.org. And I would certainly highly recommend your listeners to view this professionally produced product on TPT.
And we had Luke Eichel on the show, and he talked about that. And what a wonderful, wonderful program. Worth a watch, sir. We've got about 5 minutes left. Are there other highlights of 2014? And we need to talk about 2015, sir.
Well, I think, you know, some of the challenges that we faced in 2014 was, you know, in overseas operations, our federal mission, and that's the end of combat operations in Afghanistan. A couple years ago, we saw the end of combat operations with the 1st Brigade Combat Team finishing those operations in Iraq. And as of a couple days ago, we finished those combat operations in Afghanistan. And right now, the Army is struggling to determine how best to adjust their force structure, and we in Minnesota certainly want to ensure that we maintain a size that is relevant, trained, and accessible to our governor for state responses and to the president for future missions. And as you know, this has been a contentious issue for the past year, and with the support of our entire congressional delegations on both sides of the aisle, they've been great supporters of the reserve components and our positions in maintaining force structure in the Minnesota National Guard and all National Guards across our nation.
And General, you've been the Adjutant General for 4 years and 2 months. It seems like you've had thousands and thousands of soldiers and airmen deployed, and you've still got quite a few deployed today.
We do. As we speak today, we have over 400 soldiers that are and airmen that are deployed overseas in locations such as the Sinai, supporting that peacekeeping, peace enforcement mission in the Sinai Peninsula, as well as operations continuing going on in Kuwait with our 34th Aviation Brigade that are conducting operations in that region, as well as supporting aviation operations fighting the ISIS or ISIL, depending which term you want to use, in Iraq again. So we're back supporting those operations to fight terrorism.
Busy as ever with your federal mission, but you've also got a state mission as part of the Minnesota National Guard.
You're right, Tom, and we continue to support our communities and all the citizens of Minnesota. And this past year, we had a unique situation where we had flooding going on the Canadian-Minnesota border in the International Falls area, as well as southern Minnesota in Henderson, as well as last winter responding to three major blizzards that hit the Olivia, Albert Lea, and Owatonna area. And we opened up our armories in those locations and assisted stranded travelers, as well as providing some search and rescue capability to our local law enforcement in those communities along interstate highways.
So a dual mission keeps you up all night, I suppose, sir.
Well, you know, when we're trained and prepared and our soldiers are and airmen are as good as they are, I sleep a little better at night.
Yes, sir. General, we got about 2 minutes left. What lies ahead for 2015?
Well, I think, again, Tom, we're going to remain a competent, ready force that can adapt to any challenge on short notice. Certainly, as you know, the Minnesota National Guard has been called upon to prevent the Ebola epidemic from spreading beyond West Africa. And early spring, late winter, nearly 300 of our 34th Red Bull Infantry soldiers will deploy to Liberia. And they'll be there supporting USAID in the fight against Ebola. And we'll continue to maintain a presence in Kuwait until early summer, dealing with the terrorism that's going on in the northern part of Iraq and southern part of Syria. And not to leave out our great airmen, but the 133rd Airlift Wing will possibly deploy also to provide tactical airlift support to ongoing operations in West Africa. And we're also, obviously, at the home front with Ebola, working very closely with Dr. Ellinger of the Minnesota Department of Health, as well as the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, the governor and his staff, if anything would occur in Minnesota that we would have to support our local citizens.
General, any final messages for all our listeners all over Minnesota?
Well, I would be remiss if I did not thank all the citizens of Minnesota for their support of our citizens, soldiers, and airmen, their families and employers. And I would encourage your listeners to get involved in their local Yellow Ribbon community. Visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org to find out how, or visit our website if you have an interest in starting your own Yellow Ribbon community or company. And thanks to all the Minnesota Military Radio listeners and to the Twin Cities News Talk flagship, AM 1130. And I also want to thank, Tom, if I may, all the stations around the state that carry this invaluable program, and I would like to specifically mention the great station serving the area where I live, and that would be KCHEC in New Prague, and the wonderful work of Tom Getzinger, the general manager, and he's just one of the many around the state of Minnesota that carry this wonderful program, and I just would end by wishing all of your listeners a Happy New Year.
Thank you, General, and thank you for joining us today.
It's my pleasure, Tom. You have a great New Year.
Thank you, sir. Please stay with us. We'll be right back with a message from our county veteran service officers on Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Joining me now is David Anderson, the Wadena County Veteran Service Officer and also the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. David, Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year to you, Tom.
Welcome back to the show, and I understand today we're going to talk about a VA pension program.
Yes, we are. Just a little bit about a VA pension program. A VA pension program is for a wartime veteran that may not be making the income that would be, his income would be below the VA poverty limit. and it gives a little bit of monetary help to veterans as far as that goes.
And who's eligible for that VA pension program?
Well, any veteran is eligible as long as they meet a little bit of the criteria. They must have, before 1980, they must have 90 days of service with one day during wartime. After 1980, they typically have to have 180 days of service and also wartime service. A veteran also, if they're under 65 years old, they have to be evaluated to be totally disabled. Now, it doesn't have to be a service-connected disability. They can be disabled for something that would not be military-related, and they wouldn't be able to hold down a steady employment. If they're over 65, the VA does automatically grant that they are disabled for pension purposes, and they would be eligible that way.
So, David, how do they determine the amount of the pension?
Well, the amount is an income-based program. Right now, the current number is $1,021 a month. So if a veteran is making, say, $800 a month in Social Security, the veteran himself would be eligible for about a $221 pension amount. Now, if, say, the veteran's making $1,100 a month, but he's paying about $200 a month out of pocket medical expenses, then that would bring his pension right back down to $900. At that point, he'd be eligible for about $121 a month of pension.
So basically, for our very low-income veterans that are over 65 years old, if they're struggling, then they should come visit their county veteran service officer and see if there's any help by way of a VA pension program.
Exactly. That would be that's what the pension program is for. It's for older veterans that are struggling that might not be making a whole lot in Social Security.
And Dave, I just wanted to ask you, every time I see you and your association, either at a spring or a fall meeting, you're busy with education. All of your county veteran service officers spend a lot of time learning about all the resources out there, don't they?
Oh, yes, we do. I'd have to say I'm probably close to 200 hours of just pure education time since I've was hired as a veteran service officer and joined the wonderful Association of County Veteran Service Officers.
So once again, the important message for all our veterans that might be out there listening is, if you haven't met your local county veteran service officer yet, go get your discharge certificate, your DD-214, make an appointment, give them a call, stop in, meet your local county veteran service officer, because you guys and all of the county veteran service officers make it your business to know where all the resources are and all the different ways you can help the veterans.
Yep, you're 110% correct there, Tom.
David, it's good talking to you. I hope 2015 is a great year for you and all our county veteran service officers, and keep up the good work taking care of our veterans.
Well, thank you, and same to you, Tom. Hopefully 2015 is a great year for all of us.
All right. Thanks, Dave. That was David Anderson, our Wadena County Veteran Service Officer on Minnesota Military Radio. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Commissioner Larry Shelato from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Director Patrick Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash, and David Anderson, the Wadena County Veteran Service Officer. Please join us next week as we'll have Fox Sports North and Serving Our Troops in studio to talk about Hockey Day Minnesota. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.